Blog Talk Radio.
The world literally came to a standstill and glued to the TV as we learned that the king of pop, Michael Jackson, had died. Keyboardist Bob Baldwin's newest CD, Never Can Say Goodbye, a tribute to Michael Jackson, is scheduled to be released on June 22nd. Bob Baldwin, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
How are you guys doing today? Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. And meet my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike. I'm doing good. I'm able to tell you, that was hot. That Smooth Criminal, I was in here jamming.
I forgot about that.
That is my favorite song. That's one of my favorites by Michael. And I absolutely love the video on the Moonwalker DVD. Oh, I love that video. Great song by him. So, Mr. Baldwin, this CD of yours, Never Can Say Goodbye, is a great tribute to Michael, a great tribute.
Well, thank you. Just try to, give people the, leave the impression that, strong impression that Michael Jackson's music impacted a lot of the contemporary jazz artists, as evident in some conversations I had with several different people. Kirk Whalen, Marion Meadows, George Duke, even, they all gave him his props, and his music impacted the whole generation of artists.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, how did his music affect you professionally and personally?
Well, I grew up listening to him through my older sister, because on my father's side, my father is the one who pretty much taught me how to play music, and he was a big jazz buff, and had a great collection of jazz artist records from Coltrane, Miles, Dizzy, Bud Powell, Oscar Peterson. But my older sister had the, as I would call it, the funk collection, which included all the Motown records and Aretha Franklin, and later on Chicago, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And so that's how I learned about Michael Jackson. And, back then the Motown sound was very melodic. And so it definitely translated very well to an instrument, because all that stuff was played live. So that's how it impacted me, from the onset.
And, I can't believe it's already a year. Next Saturday will be a year already. And it just seemed like we were listening to it and watching it on TV last month. That year just flew by.
Yeah, it did. And I was sitting there pumping gas at a gas station in I think it was either South or North Carolina. And the sports station, the guy just paused, and he just went on for about 20 minutes talking about Michael Jackson, which went to show how deeply he impacted, more than just people in the music business.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Bob, when did you decide to create this tribute to Michael?
Well, I had already done Never Can Say Goodbye back in 2000 on a BobBaldwin.com record, and then did a version of I Want to Be Where You Are when I was down in Brazil in 2004, which came out on a Brazil Chill CD. So I had already had some arrangements in mind, because I was really looking to do a tribute record to either him or a couple of the artists that I have earmarked. So I guess, when he passed away, it just kind of escalated the need to go ahead and complete the thought. So, I had already had ideas in the can with I Want to Be Where You, I'll Be There, and Can't Help It, and a couple others. I already had them in the can. So, when you pass, it just made sense to just go ahead and, complete the thought.
Mm-hmm. And you have such a vast catalog of his music to choose from. So how did you choose from all of his songs?
Well, there was he kind of had three eras. He had the Motown era, which all the stuff he did back when he was with the Jackson 5, and, I'll Be There, and I Want to Be Where You Are, and Never Can Say Goodbye were kind of on that list. And then, then when he teamed up with Quincy, his sound changed almost like overnight. And so I wanted to memorialize the off-the-wall / thriller era. So I have a couple cuts from that era, and then Bad was kind of like a post Quincy era, but it showed the growth of him as a producer and as an artist beyond his days with Quincy. I mean, when Quincy and Michael came together, they just created this force of music that was not a whole lot of people can say they could have accomplished together what Michael and Quincy had done as a team. So it was important for me to, kind of lock in and memorialize those three eras.
Okay. I never had the opportunity to see Michael perform live. Did you?
I saw him not in his later years. I saw him when he was with the Jackson 5 in Mount Vernon, New York, probably the first couple of years when they were together. And it was a pretty raw performance. It was outside in the park. You know, nothing fancy, blown out, very humble setting. But you know, the energy he brought to the park that day was pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
And just like you two, you know, I've never seen Mike myself either. And after Mike passed, it was like, you know, with him passing, it was like for me to go out and, you know, it was like artists that you had to go see before they passed. Like,
right.
You know, I guess on my list is like Prince. You know, I've seen Patti a thousand times. Like I said, Aretha Franklin, people like that. You know, it was like Michael kind of made it like, you know, there's certain people you have to see before they go. You know, and if they do go before that, it's like you really miss something. Because people will say, man, you if you never seen Mike, you've missed something special. You know, so I'm like, hey, I missed out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, same here.
He definitely had his own he had his own way of doing things, and he's, you know, obviously a perfectionist and a technician at the same time. So it not being able to see him now, as you say, to your point, it's definitely a bummer.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I want to play as many songs as we can on this CD, Never Can Say Goodbye, a tribute to Michael Jackson. I am going to start with the first track, Bad, and this is featuring Reagan Whiteside.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Bad from Bob Baldwin's Never Can Say Goodbye, a tribute to Michael Jackson's CD. The CD is scheduled to be released on June 22nd. As I was sitting here listening to this song, I was remembering the time when we used to run home to watch a video on TV. I remember when they advertised a Thriller video, and, you know, it was like everybody had to be home to see that video on TV, and I remember watching the Bad video as well. Michael was a genius when it came to putting together short stories or short stories on video about his music.
Yes, he was. And, you know, at that time, he kind of revolutionized how people started recording videos. I think, I forget which video it was, but it was like a million-dollar production, which at that time was like unheard of.
Yeah, yeah. Just crazy. He's such a talented artist and musician. The phone number, if you would like to call in and speak with Bob Baldwin, 646-716-5485. You can also join us in the chat room along with AALD Radio Show, Andrew Harris, Anita Ross, Boney Fan Carroll, C.D. McGee, Guest, Help the Children, Crazy Old Man, Lori G., and Q-Storm, Old Spoken Word. They are all hanging out in the chat room. Come join us by going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, clicking on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the Play Chat button underneath Bob Baldwin's show. And we are taking questions from the chat room as well, so if you have a question, please post it in the chat room. Now, tell us about your radio tribute, Bob. And first let me tell you that we are WINR hosts. We are fellow hosts on WINR. I host a show on there on Friday nights called the Jazz Queen Show.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
After completing the record, I really wanted to get a feel of other artists of contemporaries that I thought Michael would have affected in terms of their musical, you know, shaping. And of course, like I said, you know, contemporary jazz is nothing more than, in most cases, instrumental R&B music, basically. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. And when music was evolving back in the early 70s, and they started plugging instruments in, we started to get a deeper feel of what the bass and drum could sound like in an instrumental setting. Of course, people like Grover and the Crusaders, they all kind of carved their niche on that type of music. And, you know, Herbie was a master going back and forth between contemporary and straight ahead. So I kind of grew up in that era, and so I wanted to reach out to some of my contemporaries and just to see what the feeling was like. So one of the guys I reached out to was Dave Koz, who covered I'll Be There almost about 8 or 9 years ago on one of his records. So wanted to get an idea what his thought process was about Michael, and you know, he raved about Michael's, you know, technicianship in terms of putting together shows and how he would you know, record his music. So, you know, Dave Koz was obviously impacted by Michael, and then reached out to a very dear friend of mine, Mr. George Duke, the great pianist, keyboardist, composer, who played on a lot of the Thriller and Off the Wall sessions for Quincy. George Duke was a big big fan of Quincy's, and of course Quincy's goal was to take, you know, jazz artists who had a pop sensibility and put them on this project. So, you know, George gave us a little insight of what it was like to work with Quincy on this project. You know, so he gave us a perspective from the inside, and then had a chance to touch base with Mr. Kirk Whalum on saxophone, and both Kirk and Kelly Minucci stated that they were all born the same year. Prince, Madonna, Michael, Kirk Whalum, Kelly Minucci, all born the same year. I think it was 1958. So you know, they all had kind of a special bond. So you know, Kirk, when he was talking about Michael, he said, "Well, when I was young, and I wanted to grow up and be just like Michael." So, you know, Michael's packing
in
at a young age. I thought that was pretty funny.
And then Kelly had mentioned a time when you know, he and his girlfriend were roller skating in New York City, and and mind you, Kelly is a big you know, Mahavishnu Chick Corea fan, but obviously had a soft spot for Michael Jackson. And when he heard, you know, he said when he heard the background vocals to Rock With You, he was like freaking out. It was just thick. So, you know, I just want to get the perspective of a lot of different cats, and really came up with some interesting finds on that one.
Wow. Now Bob, now did any other artists reach out to you once they found out that you were doing this project?
I just reached out to a handful of guys. I didn't get a chance to. I was kind of on a tight deadline. You know, and what I may do is I may reach out to some more guys, because Michael's birthday is on the 29th of August, I believe. So what I may do is reach out to five more guys and get their perspective, which I think might be pretty cool. And that'll just reconfirm everything that, you know, that I just said.
Yeah, but no. I'm saying, did anybody else reach out to you? You know, versus you reaching out to them. Did anybody, like, let's say, Charlie, somebody heard that you were doing this, and they said, well, let me call Bob and ask him, can I get on this?
Oh, you mean as far as participating on the actual album?
Right.
Oh, no, actually, you know, I just kind of did it myself, man. I didn't think it was. I guess I could have, but being that I was doing this out of pocket, independent project, I had to watch the funds, if you know what I mean. So,
right.
Had I had a budget, oh yeah, I would have stacked the deck and put everybody on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have. I'm sorry.
I've had the opportunity, you know, of having, you know. You know, having been signed to deals, every once in a while they would give you a nice budget. And I've had that opportunity of doing that kind of stuff, like on Standing Tall. I've had, you know, Roy Ayers and Will Downing together and things of that nature. But I wasn't, you know, being at the time of this was real strange, I wanted to just be able to get it done the best way that I knew how.
Okay. Well, now I have the 1 hour radio tribute, and I will be playing it this coming Friday on the Jazz Queen show. So if you want to listen to that, I will be playing that on my 2 hour show this Friday. You can tune in and hear Bob Baldwin's radio tribute as well, and those interviews with George Duke and Dave Koz, Kirk Whalum, and Kiela Minucci.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get back to some more music. The next song I'm going to play, and I have someone here in the chat room asked me if you did Human Nature, and yes, he did do Human Nature, so I will play that one next.
Cool. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Bob, two comments from the chat room. Cynthia says not everyone can do a decent cover of this song, but you do it justice. And Andrew says the complexity of this song lends itself well to a jazz interpretation, just gorgeous. You did a, you did a great job. Great job.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I heard you know, when they aired his funeral on CNN, I watched it, and I think John Mayer had done a version of it at the funeral. Was really inspired by that, and Miles Davis did it, you know, many years ago before then. And you know, when Miles did a remake of anybody, you know, you had to be pretty tight. So you know, Miles gave Michael his props many years ago. But thank you both for those comments.
Definitely, that's right. Now, Bob, I just want to ask you, because you also had to get permission from the estate of Michael Jackson. Is that correct?
Yes, because everybody, you know, I guess there was going to be an onslaught of people doing projects in his behalf without permission. Mm-hmm. So the estate was very, I was very fortunate to get clearance on that. It worked out, you know, worked out to my advantage, and I know I was, for some reason, I was pushed up to the front of the line, because I understand there was quite a few people that have been trying to get projects done. I think mostly have been in the biographical sense, maybe a handful of musical projects, but I was fortunate enough to get pushed to the front and get this out. All I can say is I was very fortunate.
I have a question for you from the chat room. Anita wants to know, are you considering doing a live performance with other artists in the future in reference to the tribute CD?
I would love to do that, and hopefully I'll get a chance to put together some type of tour. I would even go as far as to try to do a version with orchestration, which I think would be phenomenal.
Okay, and piggybacking on that question, C.D. McGee would like to know if you do a tour, would you be going to Gary, Indiana? He says Dave would love it there.
Oh, you know, I got to go to Gary, Indiana. Boy, that's where it all started. I would hope that somebody from Gary, Indiana would embrace this this show. So let's just put that out in the universe and say, yeah, I will be at Gary, Indiana. I haven't been there a long time.
Wow. All right, cool. Okay, let me see. I want to get to another song. One of my favorites on here is I love the way you play The Lady in My Life.
Mm. I love that song.
Play that one next. Yeah.
Yes, one of my high school favorites.
All right, this is Lady in My Life. Ooh, I love that sexy version. Love that.
That was one of those songs I just couldn't, let go. It just kept going. It's like the Everett battery.
That was nice. That was so nice. One of my favorites on the CD. And the chat room wants to know when can they buy the CD? I know it's going to be released on Tuesday. Where can they get it?
Actually, for those who are listening right now, if you go to BobBaldwin.com, you can hear sound clips of the entire album. They actually downloaded today. When you go to the shopping cart, just you'll see it. It'll be made available to you.
All right, there you go. You can download it today. BobBaldwin.com. Check that out. All right. So tell me about NewUrbanJazz.com. I've been on your site a couple of times. I like it. Tell me what that's about.
NewUrbanJazz.com is a kind of evolved out of the whole smooth jazz, collapse, if you will. In February of 2008, I was listening to a radio station in New York, CD 101.9, and within 90 minutes of getting a text message, the format flipped to a rock and roll genre. And it kind of blew my mind. It's not the first time I had experienced that, but it seems like every time I listen to it happen, it just trips me out. Shortly after that, about 20 stations within an 18-month period had also flipped formats away from smooth jazz. And so what we were left with on the East Coast between Springfield, Massachusetts, and Orlando, Florida, a span of 1,500 miles, there was no commercial smooth jazz stations. So I began to do what I could to fill the void and create a genre of music that was had contemporary jazz elements, but also with urban and Brazilian flavors, and just kind of give it more of a world sound. That's pretty much how it started. We had first gotten airplay on WJZZ in Atlanta when they were up and running, but before they flipped formats, I was able to get it on 8 other stations, which right now that's where we're holding at. So it's been an interesting ride so far.
Okay.
Now also you also have the New Urban Lounge, and that's a part of the website as well, right? New Urban Lounge with Paul Baldwin.
The New Urban Jazz Lounge is a was the show name. New Urban Jazz is more the genre. So we hope at some point to be able to expand it beyond the 2 hours a week that we have at the 8 stations. We're doing some talking to some people right now. So I think by the end of the year there'll be definitely some expansion of that whole brand.
Like I
said, East Coast people are just chomping at the bit. There's no smooth jazz in D.C., New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore. It's really, really strange.
Yeah.
We lost our station in Vegas in December.
Right. I heard about it. And Milwaukee even folded not too long ago.
Right.
That was about a couple of weeks ago. Milwaukee went under, yeah.
Okay. You said that Vegas turned into a Golden Oldies format?
I don't know if it's Golden Oldies, but they're billing it as the best music of all time. So they're playing like R&B, old school music, some Motown, mostly. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It is,
now,
right,
no, it's not jazz. Right. I mean, it's okay. You know, people that I've talked to, they like it and they really like the music and everything. But for me, it was a letdown. It was a heartbreak for me. So. Yeah, definitely. I lived in Atlanta in 96 during the Olympics. And I read that you were the festival organizer at the Centennial Park's Wednesday Wind-Down jazz shows.
It didn't quite go down like that. I did get a chance to play during the Olympics. I had moved down in 1995. In 2000, when I was working at WCLK, since 1996, they started doing like a Wednesday live music format. So
mm-hmm.
when I was working at the WCLK in Atlanta in 2007, I had a chance to put together a series of shows for the station there. But I've probably played in Centennial Park probably a total of about 10 times since it opened. Really beautiful park.
Oh, okay. I missed seeing Wayman Tisdale.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Got off work, went home, had every intention on going to see him, and went home and completely forgot about it. And by the time I realized it was too late for me to leave and go down and see him.
God. Now, what year was that?
Yeah. That was in 90, must have been 97.
Okay.
So it was at Centennial Park, so it must have been in 97. Yeah, it was right after the Olympics.
In 96, during the Olympics, Santana played there. That was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there was too many people there for me. I could not do that Olympics.
Yeah.
It was just way too many people there.
It was like 80,000 people in the park. It was pretty crazy.
It was real crazy. Real
mm-hmm.
crazy. Okay, I want to get in one more song, Bob, before we let you go.
Okay.
I'm going to let you choose the next one.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the song that comes on right after Lady of My Life, which is Let Me Show You the Way to Go, which was written by Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff, from the famous soul era of Philadelphia, the sounds of Philadelphia, and when the Jackson 5 were still together. They reached out to those gentlemen from Philadelphia, and that's the tune that that was picked. Let me show you the way to go.
Here we go.
All right.
Let me show you the way.
Bob, Lori G says, you tore this one up.
Yeah. I'm sitting there bobbing my head, I'm bobbing my head and clapping like that. Me, I'm sitting there singing and everything, you know, so.
Yeah, buddy.
You
did a great job.
Had to push the bass and drums up on that one. That's a funky little track.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let me tell you that people in the chat room are on your website trying to find the song to download, trying the CD to download. So could you kind of give us some directions on where to look on the website?
Let's see. If you go to the main page, bobbowen.com, click the Michael Jackson cover, and then you should see a shopping cart there.
Okay. All right, so go to the main page, click the cover, and then look for the shopping cart. Okay.
Also want to say that Trip and Rhythm are the distributors for this project, and without them, we were not able to get this record out on a worldwide basis. And I want to thank Jeff Lunt and Trip and Rhythm for allowing that to take place. And you know, you can get the record on Amazon.com and iTunes. And if you can find a record store, by all means. if there's any left, you can have to read it when there as well.
Yeah, right.
Far and few between in my neck of the woods.
Same here. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Bob. The CD is excellent. Bob Baldwin's Never Can Say Goodbye, a tribute to Michael Jackson. Definitely pick it up. It is a must-have if you are a Michael Jackson fan. Bob did a great job on this CD.
Thank you so much for exposing it to your audience. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Praise to Jeff, because Jeff really, you know, he contacted us and told us that, you know, we had to get you on for this tribute and everything. So, you know, when Jeff called, we had to listen and get you a spot. And I'd like to pay tribute to Michael, the greatest ever.
Well, you know, Jeff's been a great team player, and I appreciate him, you know, taking a shot with putting the record out. And, of course, you know, nothing, as much as I love downloads, nothing beats the actual CD. There's something about having a CD in your hand. It just, you know, it's a whole different experience. But however way you guys want to pick it up, I'm much appreciated for it.
All right. Mr. Bob Baldwin, thank you again for giving us the opportunity to speak with you. And we really appreciate it. And you have a great day.
Well, thank you guys for your time. And you have an incredible day as well. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Bob Baldwin. Again, the CD is Never Can Say Goodbye, a tribute to Michael Jackson. And, yes, again, I want to thank Jeff Lunt for his assistance in scheduling Bob. So thank you, Jeff, for that. And tomorrow we are talking to a saxophonist named Jason Weber about his new CD called Five. So that's 7 p.m. tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. All right, Mike, we have 4 minutes left. Do you have anything to add?
No, nothing to add. Like I said, that was some hot transit that you played. Now, and I like that you played that Smooth Criminal in the beginning. That kind of shocked me. When I came on, I'm like, what is this heartbeat thing going on? So you kind of surprised me with that. But it was all cool as soon as the music hit. So I'm like, am I on the right show or what?
That was my tribute to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm going to close with another. Yeah, that's taken from his Bad CD. And I'm going to close with another song from Michael's Bad CD, another favorite of mine, The Way You Make Me Feel. I love this one as well, and the video too. So until tomorrow, you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking Smooth Jazz with you tomorrow. Happy Father's Day. This is Michael Jackson's The Way You Make Me Feel.
Thank you.